Let's have a word of prayer before we jump in to our message on love. Heavenly Father, as we begin this conversation about your love, I pray for each person here. God, you know exactly what we've been going through this past week, this past decade, the fears of tomorrow and what's to come. Father, we know that you see all. And Lord, as we've gathered into this place, I pray that as we talk about love, that you would supply what every person individually needs to experience your love, to receive your love, and then from this place to go and share your love. This love that surpasses all understanding from a human standpoint. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we talked about hope. We're unwrapping four different gifts leading up to Christmas. We're in this season of Advent. Advent, this concept of waiting, anticipation. The anticipation of the birth of Jesus and also looking forward to the return of our Savior and Lord Jesus. Last week we looked at hope. The hope that we hold on to in the midst of the past, life storms today, and even into the future that we have no control over. Today, we're going to look at love. And in order to get the ball rolling, I have a video clip of a fellow pastor who may need some help in that area, if we could run this clip.
If I may digress for a moment from my prepared message, I mean it when I say to you, you guys, sometimes you're bad. Don't be jerks. You're supposed to be good. I'm in my office every day and somebody comes in and they're like, hey, whoops. I'm like, don't! Dan, what is your deal? If anybody doesn't know, Dan is the worst. I took a vow to not say who was the worst, but it's Dan. You guys are making me look bad in front of God. What's that? Oh, look, it's Jesus. And he said, stop it! The word of the Lord.
You ever feel like that? Oh. Do you ever feel loved in that sort of way? I hope and pray that it doesn't happen here. My desire is that in this place you would feel truly loved and accepted. And I can promise you and guarantee you, you will never have to worry about me pointing out your sins in front of everyone. Well, what would Christmas be like without songs and carols? These songs, these carols that we hear all the time. And so what I thought I would do this morning with this love theme going on, I want to play a little game where I'm going to put up some lyrics of Christmas carols, and you are going to shout out the song title if you know what it is. And I'm going to try, because it's going to be hard not to sing it while we read it. So here's the first one. Oh! That's a freebie. Okay. Yeah. It hasn't changed. It's still Sleigh Ride. But do you recognize that line from Sleigh Ride if you didn't sing it? We're snuggled up together like two birds of a feather would be. Never mind the bad grammar, right? But that's fine. Okay, so let's see if we can do a little bit better here. Here's the second one. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, this is really hard not to sing it. All the way home, I'll be warm. What's that song?
Let it snow.
Very good. Attempt number three. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree won't be the same. Dear, if you're not here with me. That one's really hard not to do it like Elvis Presley. Man. And there, yes, some are already doing it. Way to go. See me afterwards for my attempt. Not really. Number four. Mistletoe hung where you can see, every couple tries to stop. That's right. Rocking around the Christmas tree. How about this one? This one's a little bit longer. In the meadow, we can build a snowman and pretend that he is Parson Brown. You know, for the longest time, it wasn't until I put this slide up there. I thought it was, we can build a snowman and pretend that he is Parse and Brown. And I was like, what does that mean? We can pretend he's Parse and Brown? Why would we care if he wants to marry us? Has anyone ever experienced that where you hear the lyric and you don't know what it is until you're like, wait a minute, was this? Yeah. Winter Wonderland, off on a tangent there. All right, so here's an easy one, even though these were all easy. If you are completely lost in this, I'm going to give you a freebie. The song title is also what the line is. Very good. Does Mariah Carey sing that? Is that Mariah Carey's song? So do you catch a theme of these lyrics? It's also the same theme that we're talking about. Love. And all of these Christmas carols that are supposed to be about Christmas, we're singing about love. Couple loves. It's pretty clear that Christmas holds the corner on the market of romance and love. In 2014, American Wedding Study, conducted by Brides Magazine, researchers found that 19% of all engagements occur in December. How many of you got engaged in December? Anybody? Okay. 19% doesn't seem like a lot, but it was the most popular month. And can you guess what day was the most popular day to pop the question? I hear a lot of snakes out there. It is Christmas Eve, the most popular day. So guys, if you were anticipating asking your girlfriend to marry you on Christmas Eve, don't. Let's buck the trend, you know. Let's just wait a little bit. So it was Christmas Eve, followed by Christmas Day, then New Year's Day, and rounding out the top few, Valentine's Day. So all this holiday, Valentine's Day was supposed to be the holiday of love. It's actually Christmas Eve and Christmas that holds this mentality of love. And there is certainly nothing wrong with celebrating love on Christmas. There's nothing wrong with getting engaged on Christmas. I'll celebrate with you if you show me your engagement ring in January. But depending on where you find yourself in regard to the romantic relationships at the moment, all of this love in the air and these Christmas songs in the anticipation of engagements, it can bring a sense of excitement. It can bring a sense of expectation, but it can also bring a sense of loneliness And it can also bring a sense of isolation, things unmet, hurts that come back to the surface every year. Either way, personal preference, personal opinion, too much focus on the cuddly puppy love in these cold winter months under the mistletoe can divert away from the true love, the true reason to celebrate love on Christmas. So I challenge us all this Sunday and in the coming few weeks of Advent not to miss the true story of Advent. This love story has been written for all of us, for you and for me, written in what we call the Bible or Scripture. It is a story of true, faithful, unending, sacrificial love. And when we say love, it's not emotional so much as reality, as much as action. It is God's love in sending Jesus that changes everything. Love has been God's story from the very beginning, from the moment of creation. It's almost as if when you read the creation story in Genesis 1 and you look at it from the point of that God is love, you can almost see it as God is just so full of this love that it is the result. In a crude way, a humanistic, cruel way, you can say when a husband and a wife love each other so much, the result of that overpowering love is a child. You are the result, you could tell your son or daughter. You are the result of your mother and our love for one another. You, as a created being from God, you are the result of God's love. It just pours out of him, and it's you. Think about that for a minute. In the season that can bring a circle of emotions, you are the result of God's love. We saw God's love with Adam and with Eve in the garden, both before they ate of the forbidden fruit and after. Even after they decided that they knew what was best for their life and not so much with God, God still loved them with the same infectious, overpowering love. It didn't diminish at all. God showed his love by saving Noah and his family from the flood, giving humanity a new start. In the Old Testament, God gave commandments to the people of Israel as a way to show his love for them. His love turns the world inside out. The authors of the New Testament calls it foolish. It's like we can't even think properly when we look at what God's love has brought about in this world. When he sent his son, Jesus, to live among us. You think of it as the God of the universe, the creator God, born in a stable, dying on the cross, rising again from the grave. It took love to disrupt the powers of evil, the power of death, and overturn it. Love did that. Not military, not violence, not muscle. Love did that. And if you've been in church a number of years or long enough, you realize that when pastors talk about love around this time of year, they're not so much talking about the emotional love that one feels for the other. Have you ever experienced the junior high love? And it starts by this. You write a letter. Dear so-and-so, I like you. Do you like me? Yes or no? Circle one. You ever experienced that? I spoke to a group of guys in middle school. They were fifth graders going into sixth grade, and I told them, I said, look, if you want to beat the system in this, if you ever get a letter by a girl that says, do you like me, yes or no, circle one, circle or. So the story of God that we read in the Bible, it is not so much emotion, although emotion is a part of it. But ultimately, it is a story of action. As we've talked about in weeks past, that our belief in God, our belief in Jesus, it is a response. It causes a response. And the same is true for love. Love causes a response. It's this reality that the God of the universe loves you so much that he left everything in order to be with his creation. He left it all to sacrifice himself and his life so that you could be with him. Not based on anything you or I could do, but simply because he loves his creation. And he desires to be with his people. So this is the second gift that we unwrap, this gift of love. Last week, we went through this journey of hope. Hope past, hope present, and hope future. We looked at the few prophecies of the Old Testament prophets that spoke to Jesus' birth. The child will be called Emmanuel, God with us. The government will rest upon his shoulders. We were challenged to place our hope in Jesus amidst the trials of life. Not that God fixes the trials, but that God walks with you through them. And we were reminded that this hope is still to come. There were some prophecies of the Bible that have not come to fruition yet, and yet we hold on to this hope that God, who fulfilled these prophecies, will continue, will complete this good work. Advent is a season. It's not the Christmas season, it's the anticipation. It's this rediscovering the coming of Jesus. It is hopefully our gaining a greater understanding of how wide, how long, how deep this love that our Savior has for us. As we think ahead to December 25th, those of you who have ever experienced children opening presents, what is that like? Do they shake it? Do they get upset because someone's gift is bigger than their gift, even though some great gifts can come in small packages? There's this sense of excitement that comes, even if you're not a kid, you're a kid at heart. The emotions and the reaction of ripping the wrapping paper. Some of you may not be so into ripping. You're the kind of people who likes to very carefully unpeel the tape. And maybe you want to iron the paper for next year so you can use it. Or you know someone like that. The absolute worst thing about opening these presents for these kids is if the toy has to have batteries, right? Or you have to put it together. Like, seriously? The wonderful thing about this gift from God, this gift of love, is it's pre-made. And you don't have to do anything but accept it. So if you're taking notes, on the back of your bulletin, I want to look at three things that we can do with this love that we're talking about, this love that comes from God. Number one is we accept his love. Again, this is a church phrase. You've probably heard it if you've ever been a part of a church, but I want to explore this a little bit deeper. We accept his love. One of the most well-known verses of the Bible, if people have never darkened a doorway in a church, they probably are familiar with John 3:16. And you're probably very familiar with it. You could probably quote it using different translations of however, but I want to use that today as our jumping off point. So let's look at John 3:16, and it goes like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. These are words spoken by Jesus to a expert who is looking for answers. Sometimes we can be so familiar with this verse that we can recite it and we can look right past it. The reality, the impact of these words of Jesus, that God loved the world, so loved the world. And focusing on that five-lettered word, loved, that it was that five-lettered word that changes the world. It changes everything. So the first thing that we do with this love is, it's so basic, but it's not necessarily easy to receive it, to accept it. For some people, this step of accepting God's love, God's gift, is very difficult because it seems too easy. And we've gotten it in our minds, in our way of life, our worldview, that anything that's free is not worth it. Or there's a catch. And sometimes, in all honesty, sometimes church people have decided, look, it is too easy. Let's add things to it to make it seem more valuable. So we come up with things that you have to be this certain way, or you have to speak or look this way before you can fully embrace or accept this love. Maybe it's something that you've struggled with for a long time, this idea that God loves you right where you are, that you did nothing to earn it or to throw it away. It's there. It's like he's holding it in his hand and saying, it's yours if you want it. Maybe you're sitting here and it's a brand new idea. For whatever reason, you've never really thought about it, or it's never been presented to you that way, that God isn't an angry God. Rather, he loves you, and he offers you this gift. Or maybe you're sitting here and this love of God is a gift that you've neglected for a while, or you've taken advantage of it. Maybe you feel unlovable. God, you don't know what I've done. There's no one who would love me because of what I've done. You have no idea the things that I've said or the way I've treated people. No God would want me. Maybe it's because of past relationships where you felt unlovable. Whatever the reason, this first step, accepting God's gift of love, is so difficult for some. So the reality is, I don't know what you've done. If you're sitting here thinking that there's no way, you don't know what I've done, and I don't. But God knows what you've done. God's seen you your entire life. As he was forming you in your mother's womb, he knew. And his love that he offers, it sees, it knows, and it understands. This is the love that God offers through Jesus Christ. No matter what challenges or hurts that you hold, hear this. God's love can handle it. God's love not only can handle it, God's love can heal it. His response to you this morning as we talk about love is wide open arms. So wherever you are this morning, whether you're a lifelong church member, whether this is your first or second time in a church, you've heard about hope and now you're hearing about love, I encourage you to accept it, to say, wow, as crazy as it is, the very last string on my lifeline, I'm going to grab a hold of this. God, I accept it. May this Advent season, these 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, may it be a time of accepting this love, this salvation of Jesus. And maybe you don't have all the answers and you don't know fully all about this Jesus, but right now it's like, I'm there. This, I want it. I want to taste it. I want to experience it. And I got nothing else going for me. Maybe you're here and you know someone like that, and you've experienced this love. You've been living your life just marinated in this love of God, and you know this person desperately needs the reality of Jesus' love. And so your step then is to pray for them. God, would you reveal yourself somehow, some way, by the power of your Spirit, pierce the walls around their heart and mind. Whether it's through words that you say, or maybe it's just you're silent, but you are a very loving force in their life. So we accept the love of God. Second of all, we experience his love. During this season of Advent, may we all experience this love of God deeply. It's easy to get distracted, having to buy all these gifts and get the lights up. Maybe you're going to go to Lowe's or Home Depot and buy one of those little projectors that make your house look like it has leprosy with all the lights instead of that. Have you seen those things? It's crazy. You're just distracted by all of these different Christmas things. If you've bought one already, you think it's cool. No offense. I'm not trying to put you down. It's easy to read the headlines. It's easy to watch CNN, Fox News, whatever channel you watch. It's easy to look at the news around us and wonder, seriously, you're talking to me about love right now? Where is it? If God is a God of love, prove it. And I don't see it. I haven't seen it for a number of years. It seems to get worse and worse and worse. Anybody there? Anybody willing to admit, God, where is this love that we have been holding on to? It's easy to allow worry to overcome you about tomorrow, isn't it? It's a challenge to remind ourselves about, no, look, God is in control. This God who pours out his love for people is still on the throne. And yet when you think about tomorrow, we think about the coming months, and you just really get tied up in knots. And it overwhelms us. It can overwhelm you from feeling loved. And all of those things matter. Life matters. The intricacies and the choices that you have to make and the situations that you're going to have to walk through in the coming year, they matter. God doesn't want you to ignore these things and slap on this fake happy smile. No, everything's wonderful, when deep down it's really hurtful and worrisome. What God does is he invites you to bring those things to him. His arms are big enough to embrace your darkest sins. His arms are strong enough to carry your heaviest anxieties and worries and prayers. Surrender your deepest hurts. Surrender your harshest concerns of your life to him, and allow him to then fill you or refill you with his love. The good news is that the good news that we can hold on to is that the love that he gives through Jesus is enough. Just camp on that. His love is enough. Paul says it this way: for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Read over those words in these few minutes. This is powerful love that goes beyond emotions. That goes beyond these emotions. They're here one day, gone the next, and they just wishy-washy. Each week you go through just a whole spectrum of emotion. This is love that cannot be contained. It cannot be constrained by any power in the universe, because that power was all created. Love was and is and will be. But it is love to be experienced. It's not enough just to say, yes, I believe in love, but it is love to be experienced in the depths of your bones, in the deepest part of you. Going back to our example of kids opening presents on Christmas morning, there's this one experience a few Christmases ago. Somebody gave my son Garrett a gift. And Garrett opened it, was excited. It was this die-cast, big, earth-moving vehicle type of toy. And Garrett was all excited, you know, sweet, a cool tractor or a machine. If you have boys, you know what it's like, to, you know, this big Tonka truck kind of things. But it was a die-cast thing. And the words that were spoken as the gift is opened, it says, "Now this is not a toy to play with. This is a toy that you put on your shelf." And Garrett did what I would have done having heard those words. Garrett looked at it and said, "Okay," and put it away. I was like, "What are you?" I was thinking this. I didn't say it because it... Anyway. Later that day, I was in Garrett's room and I said, "Garrett, when we get home, you can play with this. It's a toy. It is yours. You can do with as you want. Play with it." That's what toys are for. To experience. Sometimes we want to treat this love of God as something that we hear about on Sunday morning and we look at it and say, "Wow, it's fantastic," but we don't play with it. We just look at it on Sunday morning. We talk about it and we say how wonderful this love is. But instead, rather, this love of God is supposed to be experienced. We're supposed to play with it like this stuffed animal that gets worn out with use, with the clothes that you wear, that you want to wear week after week, and it becomes a part of you. We're supposed to experience it. This love of God, this gift that He gives us, He hands it to us, and once we accept it, He says, "Now play with it. Chew on it. Get dirty in it. It's yours. Use it." This love of God, you know, we use different metaphors. It's our lifeblood. It is the oxygen that energizes the cells within our body to do what we do, to be who we are. It's this love of God that courses through our person. And so may we embrace this love of God fully, believing that nothing takes it away. Not our choices, not our mistakes, but it's there and it's ours. Thirdly and finally, we accept it, we experience it, we play with it, we get dirty in it. Thirdly, we share His love. How many of you, audience participation, how many of you have ever been in love? Show of hands. You've been in love. Very good. I see some hands, some are like, "Well, like, I think, I'm not sure." You turn and look to the person next to you. "Are we? Is that, you know?" Some of you are like, "Not after this morning. I'm telling you what, it hurts. You know, I still got the welt. I'm not sure." Not. For those of you who've raised your hands, there's probably a good chance that you have done something insane to proclaim this love. Yes? I call it insane. You may call it a good idea. Where maybe you've done something. My example, and you can ask her afterwards, in college, was this before or after we were in love? Alita would throw pennies at my window, my dorm window. Was that before we were in love? It was just to get my attention. Bing, bing. What have you done to get the attention of the person you like? Did anybody take a boombox and raise it over their head in like the movie Say Anything. Anybody seen the big jumbotrons at the sporting events, and they get them on the camera, and there's a guy that gets down on one knee and proposes because he wants the whole stadium to experience this moment. And then the woman says, "Are you kidding me? No." There was one video, you may have heard about this. There's one video where it was on the big jumbotron and everybody was watching, and he gets down on the knee and he drops the ring. You've seen that, and you're like, "What in the world is going on?" He's like, "That's all right, it's from Cracker Jacks. It's okay, it's fine." Maybe you've literally shouted out loud, whether it's outside or in public, you've declared your love for someone or something, whether it's Ohio State football, whether it's cheesecake. And if you're really crazy, "I love my mother-in-law." And you're like, "What? What's going on?" But it's what we humans do. We declare love. We invite people to our weddings because we want them to experience it. We want them to see it. We want them to see, "Look, I love this person. You see the ring on their finger? I love this person. This shows you my love for them." Do you see, when we give gifts, it's because I just, some kind of thing that declares, "I love you. That I want to spend my, and I want people to know it. I want people to see it." That's why for centuries, people have written poetry. People have written songs. They've written books and plays because we're just like God. We are creative in expressing this. We try to find new ways to express, to declare what's going on in the inside of us. When we are in love, it shows, doesn't it? Think about when you first understood you were in love. Think about it. May be a long time to think about that, or maybe recently, but just go back with me. Think about when you figured it out. "I love this person. I love this pizza." You knew it. It felt good, didn't it? Maybe you went and you had a Thurman burger and you're like, "I love this burger. For some reason, I'm hungry. I'm just thinking of food all this time this morning." But we shared it, didn't we? That's the point I'm trying to say this morning. We shared our understanding of this love. We expressed it. Love overflows. That is the reality. Just as with God in creation, we are the overflow of God's love, the result of God's love. For a man and a woman who love each other, children are this result, this overflow of love. How we treat one another, how we speak and act to one another is an overflow, should be an overflow of this love that God has given to us and then almost commands us, calls us, desires us to then show. Share it. This gift of love from God is for sharing. And the fantastic thing about this gift, this love, when you share it, when you give it away, it doesn't get any smaller for you. Like, think about back in Thanksgiving, you had these fantastic pies, and you had all these people sitting around your table, and when you shared the pie, what happened? The pie got smaller. You're like, you get upset because you want to share it, but then there's nothing left for you. But with God's gift, with this, all these gifts that we're talking about, hope, love, joy, and peace, the more you give it, the more it will be replenished in you. It's almost like an oxymoron. The more you give it away, the more you receive of it. And you'll be amazed at what happens as you give it to people who are frustrating to you, as you give it to people who are just joys. You give it and it replenishes. It actually leaves you with more than what you gave. So once we accept and experience this love of God, the next natural step is to share it, to let it overflow around us into the people with us. John said it this way in 1 John chapter 4. He says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him, live through Jesus. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And then he says this, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." It pours out. As you receive, so you give. God's love comes to us and it flows through us. Think of us as a conduit. It goes through us. We get to experience this love as he pours it out into others. That's our partnership with him. The more we embrace, the more we experience it, the more we want to share it with others. So what does that look like for you this season? What does sharing the love of God look like for you specifically? Think about this for a minute as I close up here. Does sharing the love of God in your sphere, wherever that is, however you live your life, does it mean spending quality time with your family? Does it mean, as difficult as it sounds, turning off your screens? Putting them away and experiencing your family? Does sharing the love of God mean using your screens and calling a mom or a dad or a grandparent? Maybe it's someone you haven't spoken to in a long time and said, "I wanted to call you this season because I want this season to be different. I forgive you. Or I'd like you to forgive me." What does it look like to share the love of God? Does it mean reconnecting with a friend who has drifted away? Does it mean going out and serving your neighbors or your strangers? In a very practical way, when you go through the drive-thru at McDonald's or any fast food, you tell the person who takes your money, "I'd like to pay for the food of the person behind me." And just know that when they pull up and they say, "Hey, your meal's been paid for," what? That's crazy. That's a lot of fun. You could look to see if it's a van full of kids and then wait for the second time around. Maybe it's, you know, an older lady and, "Oh, she's just going to get coffee. I'll pay for her meal." Maybe sharing the love of God for you this season means forgiving someone who has hurt you. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to go to this person and say, "You know what, you really hurt me, but I want you to know I forgive you." It doesn't have to be like that. It's a simple matter of, you know what, you forgive them. And you tell God, with your help, I forgive them. I am not going to hold this over them. Maybe it means going to someone and sincerely apologizing for being a constant source of negativity, of being a constant source of complaining, and you realize that, who is that? What joy comes from all of this negativity? That's not who I want to be. No one likes that. And so you realize that I don't want to be that person anymore. And so you go and you say, "Look, with God's help and with your prayers, I apologize. And I want to do right. I want my attitude to be different." There are endless ways that you can allow God's love to flow through you as you love on other people, just as God has loved on you. Think of one way that you can do that right now. What is the step that you can take? And then what you do is when you pray, "God, reveal it to me. Give me opportunities." That's scary. When you pray and ask God for opportunities, he will give them to you. And you may not be comfortable with it, but I challenge you to step into it and extend that love in whatever opportunity God opens the door for you. So keep your hearts open, keep your eyes open in this Advent season. During the songs, during the carols, let's enjoy them. Let's love on our spouses, let's love on our family members, our kids, our girlfriends and boyfriends, but also keep the focus on the true love that reaches far deeper than any song from any artist. These sappy carols, these romantic statistics. May you and I, may we revel in God's love. May we be known to others as people who are loved by God. And they know we are loved by God because we give them the love of God. Is that something we can do this season? Is this something that we can ask for and prepare for and in trembling say, I think I'm ready? Let's pray. Father, we thank you in this season of Advent and we can unwrap your gift of love and with hope, with love, with joy, and with peace, help us accept this gift. For those of us who are in this room who have never accepted the gift of love, God, I pray that you would work on their hearts and their minds, encourage them that they can accept it, that it is absolutely free. It's something they just take. Father, may we experience it. May it not be something we put on the shelf like the hidden elf, but it is something that we roll around in. It is something that we digest. It's something that we get to experience, and it becomes a reality in our very bones. God, I pray that you would give us the courage and the direction to share it. Whether we're people who tend to be shy, give us boldness in a very compassionate, genuine way to share this love. If we've been that person who's been a source of constant complaining and negativity and unhappy about everything at work and at home, may you convict us of that. May you renew this love of God within us. This is a season of new beginnings. Father, go before us this day, this week, as we anticipate your coming. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here. You're dismissed. Share his love as you go and as you work out your week. Speaking.